The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you have a call for myself or the guest today, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And I've got a part of the Laundry House gang here. They're shuffling papers and hitting the microphone, as you can hear. And we're going to call this the Great Bear Show. Because they've been talking about a little article that was and an opinion piece in the newspaper by Sean McGuire. And I got a feeling there was gentlemen, Al, Wayne, that there was personal missive, there was purposeful misinformation put in that article.
So let me start out by saying, and I'll give my disclaimer, that I am a member of the Board of Game, but anything that I may say doesn't represent the Board of Game or the members of the Board of Game. So I got to be clear on that. Otherwise, the lawyers will...
And you're also a member of the Laundry House Gang.
Oh, yeah.
But they represent that thought. Is that right, Wayne?
Or not.
Or not. Well, depending on what Wayne thinks. But as a representative of the Laundry House Gang here, what did you think of that article?
They're all a little bent, and they're kind of misleading, and they take things out of context that are either mentioned in data or research, and so they use their little spin to it because most people don't follow the Board of Game or follow the issue from when it started several years ago, to date. They just they get blurbs and say, there was no public process. I've heard the Board of Game did this all in executive session behind closed doors, and there was no public comment. And, that's not true.
So what's the background on the Great Bear Slaughter?
It's a little bit complicated, but mm-hmm. The Mulchatna caribou herd's been declining for a long time.
Yes, that's true.
It's... many large herds, and including in Canada, things like that happen with them due to, usually habitat. Sometimes it's a lot of predator-prey science. Excuse me. And so as that herd's been declining, there's been some habitat issues. There's been some disease issues that all contributed, to this declining. And then age classes of female caribou not reproducing at their proper time or dying too early. And so you have this crash. And basically, most biologists or scientists can really never explain a large herd why they crash. They have mm-hmm. hypotheses. There's no silver bullet. And so we see it in Western Arctic caribou herd. We've seen it in the Mulchatna. We've seen it in the Central Arctic caribou herd, but they rebounded a little quicker than most herds. And we're starting to see it in the Nelchina herd, which, was already closed down. And then there's multiple herds in Canada if you follow caribou science or management. And you'll see this, throughout history. And it takes them a long climb to climb back up, but it takes a short time for a decline.
So where did the thought of coming in and removing predators as part of the issue?
So several years ago, underneath the Trump administration, there was some, traditionally BLM and National Park Service are opposed to taking predators mm-hmm. To protect an ungulate population. It's been pretty much unheard of, but there was some flexibility during the Trump administration that potentially there was a portion of, I believe, BLM land out there that they were going to allow.
Federal land.
Yeah. They might allow the state or state residents to participate into removing some
predators, wolves and bears, basically.
Right, and so that was a proposal, and you know, we were waiting on confirmation from the federal side, and in the meantime, we had an election, and the Biden administration took over and shut those doors, and so we still had this proposal on the table.
Pocahontas shut the door.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Deb Hyland.
Yeah.
And so in the meantime, we still had this proposal that was on the table that had to be addressed, and so last year, what meeting was that at? Anyways, it was forwarded to the Soldotna meeting, and I think that was the meeting. Anyways, they brought it back up, and we had the overview on it. We went through the history of the 40 or the Mulchatna caribou herd again, and we weren't allowed to do anything on the federal land, so the department made up a new area that on state land.
Department of Fish and Game,
that potentially they could harvest some wolves out of this area during the calving season.
Mm-hmm.
And as board members, we were looking at the overview, they call it, but it's the history of how we got to where we are. And one of the charts said that there was a 46% mortality were caused from bears on the calving herds, on newborn calves, and
that's quite significant.
Yeah, it's very significant. And so one of the board members, you know, made an amendment and wanted to add bears to that wolves,
to the justified control. Yeah,
justified by the pie chart that said 46% mortality is caused by bears. And so that was passed, and it was set aside for language to be written up, and then it was brought back to the board during that meeting. And during that meeting, then it was put out and said we're going to address it in the next January meeting that was scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So the public had a chance to comment on it. Well, it wasn't prepared for the January meeting. It was prepared for the March meeting, so they even had longer time to...
Good 6 months.
Yes, to address the proposed regulatory change on the predator control, which is statutory. And so, you know, at that meeting, we approved that language. We had very little opposition to it. And, you know, per the Constitution, we have to manage for sustainability. And, you know,
not viewing for a few people from New York on buses.
And so, you know, in the department, you know, I'll make that note too, because it's been used a lot. You know, in that documents, the department says they've observed 15 to 20 bears. That's at any one time a biologist may have been in the field. They're not there for 2 weeks at a time actually sitting counting bears, but
yeah,
they knew they had a minimum count of 15 to 20 grizzly bears in that calving area. And so
that takes out a significant population, 15 to 20 grizzly bears.
Which seemed like a reasonable number. And, you know, so this spring they enacted predator control through the IM statute. And, you know, and like I reported, intensive management.
Okay.
And so like several months ago, I came in here and reported and said, you know, 95 bears were taken in this area, which was a very concentrated area, very small, you know, like 50 miles each way. And they took 95 bears, which was a lot. It's a lot in my mind. I've not seen that many animals.
That's a heavy concentration.
Yes, and so in a very, very small area. It's not over a vast area. So there's only one reason those bears were there in that little area.
Get caribou.
So, and
bringing the,
you know,
dinner
here
bell.
We are now today with, you know, a lot of controversy on what seemed like to be that the public wasn't involved.
No, I don't think there's a lot of controversy. I think there's a few people who are trying to make it controversial.
Yeah.
And that's what you have. You know, the person, Sean McGuire, who wrote that article, you know, he went political. He said, you know, it's all the Republicans. And if there was a Democrat mayor, governor, they would be putting other people like him, conservationists, posy sniffers.
I'd like to ask you what that means, conservationist. Or are you talking about a preservationist?
He said conservationist.
I know he did.
Yeah.
Disturbs me when they use that term.
I know.
What it all comes down to is it's really not less, it's less about conservation than it's about what you think management
is.
Yeah,
but he went political. He thought that if there's a Democratic governor.
And he's not the only one.
Yeah, that something like he would have more of his side, he called it a balanced board of game. Now, were you confirmed by the legislature?
Yes, I was.
So everyone on that board has been confirmed by a joint House and Senate legislation.
Yes, they are.
It has a very good mix of Democrats and Republicans. So you're all confirmed by a general population of the state of Alaska.
Yes.
But the assumption that is made by Mr. McGuire and former Governor Tony Knowles and others that are contributing to this public discourse, the assumption is that the Board of Game is the manager. They are not.
Yeah, they're not.
They are, the Department of Fish and Game is the manager, and why it ever evolved that the department in its management responsibility goes to the board to get it to approve or bless or I believe Mr. Guire says orders. And
the Board of Game runs everything.
yeah. And the assumption is that they have broader responsibility than they do. And, the responsibility really lies with the commissioner's office by statute and by constitutional imperative. So, to get quite excited about changing the Board of Game to change management is really a fantasy that's been around for a long time.
Well, that's Sean McGuire.
And it's a whole bunch of folks.
I know. We'll come back to this after our commercials. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Supply Company on Van Horn Road, the only Alaska-owned full-line wholesale distributor of plumbing, heating, industrial piping, waterworks, and mining products for over 30 years. Sure, they're big enough to handle the supply needs of pipelines and gold mines, but they're personable enough to help you with your needs as well. Frontier Supply Company, for all of your plumbing and heating needs, on Van Horn Road, online at frontiersupply.com. That's Frontier Supply Company.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Chris Ingeman, who reeled in a 146.4-pound halibut. And it sounds like it was a little bit of chaos on the boat when you got that big fish in. So once you got it to the surface and you saw this is a 146.4-pound fish, what goes through your mind and what transpired?
What went through my mind, I just thought it was surreal. It was when I saw the color and the size of the fish coming from about 15 feet down, it was unbelievable. I was so concentrated on just trying not to lose it and focused on trying to get this darn thing into the boat.
And once everyone realized how big it was, did the atmosphere change?
Like I said, it was so chaotic. I wasn't paying much attention to what other people were doing, but we got it up, he harpooned it, and then as soon as he harpooned it, the harpoon rope actually caught the tip of my rod and busted my pole off. So at that point, I was still trying to reel, but, I was basically out of control. Everything was kind of on the harpoon rope. So then he harpooned it again, and the fish was still it was going crazy and obviously trying to escape, but once we got the second harpoon, I think everyone in the boat took a deep breath and realized, hey, I think this thing's, we got it,
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into our private cabins at Eagles Rest RV Park, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Park and Cabins is a perfect place to land. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at EaglesRestRV.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area, so the sooner you book, the better. EaglesRestRV.com.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 82. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 54. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83. Dry with temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday, and highs from the low 80s to the mid 80s. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I got three members of the Longhouse Gang in here. We got Wayne, Al, and Craig Compo.
Yeah.
He just came in from out at the fair,
yep,
where he's been deftly marketing his 4x4s, his Can-Ams,
yes,
and his snow machines, getting the hunters ready for the season.
It's that time of year, yep.
I was looking for an Articat in there, and I couldn't find one.
It's over by the dumpsters.
Yeah, it was at last year's fair.
Yeah.
Now, another thing I want to point out that Mr. McGuire brought up, he believes that politics should enter into game management. And I'm that concept, you know, let the biologists take the politics out of it. You know, Tony Knowles was infamous for trying to get political with game, always. Alaska resource management, always. You don't do that. Now, another thing that he said was, back in the day before they did any predation control out there, when they had a buffer area around the park, that 80% of the visitors would see wolves. 80%. I scream hogwash on that.
Yeah.
80%. You know, maybe 1%. Wayne, any thoughts on that?
Well, if wolves aren't there, you won't see them. And they might not be there because a few were, you know, harvested outside the park in the wolf townships, as the enlightened folks call them. But probably the greater reason you don't see so many wolves these days as you used to, because there's no food there for them.
Yeah. They've moved on. They're in other areas trying to get food.
Yeah, that's sort of what predators do. If you're a grizzly bear, you go where the calves are. You know,
yeah,
even if all your buddies are already there.
And some of the other reasons why some years had really high sightings versus other years was where their denning sites were.
Yeah.
A few times those denning sites are very visible from the road, which means, you know, you had 4 to 6 months of actually seeing lots of wolves in one little area. So there was high sighting, but, you know, it was the same 10 wolves, you know, with thousands of tourists. And all that sighting data is anecdotal. It's just bus drivers asking people or seeing and then saying, I got 70 people on the bus, and so 70 of us seen wolves today. And, you know, so, you know, basically anecdotal information. There was really nothing scientific to it.
And the buffer zone push is coming again, right? That's what it sounds like they're going to...
Yeah, I'm, you know, that's a annual 3-year event.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have several proposals.
Yeah, they're gearing up for it.
And they'll bring in those statistics and we'll, you know, deal with it and then absorb them and take action on it.
Yeah. So how many people on the board were appointed by Governor Walker?
That would have been Stosh Hoffman and I believe that would be the last one. He's the longest serving member currently on there.
Okay. How many people are on Board of Game?
7.
Yeah.
But going to your earlier point, you know, these are appointed by the governor, they're nominated mm-hmm. by the governor, and then the legislature confirms or denies. And, you know, who put your name up is really less important than what's happened since. And, you know, just because Governor Walker was what he was, and he happened to have appointed Stosh, doesn't really mean as much as what Stosh has become
mm-hmm.
while on the board, which is, and what Stosh has become is he's taken on himself and the board the role of management, which rightfully belongs in the commissioner's office. When you're going to make management plans, I believe you think you're managing. And
yes.
You're going to implement the planning team financially, It means you think you're going to manage, and the board is specifically prohibited from doing two things.
You know, spending money.
Administration and spending money.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get that done?
Well, that's why we're having this discussion, is letting the listeners know what the actual and factual is.
You know, Stosh is...
Not the purposeful misinformation that was put in the paper.
You know, Stosh is, his interest right now is in controlling sheep harvest in Game Management Unit 19C,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of near where he lives. The department and its biologists have said, yeah, sheep are down, probably due to weather and some predation along the way, but there's no reason to reduce the opportunity to go there and harvest a sheep if you want. But, Stosh is a senior member, and he has some clout on the board, and he now has the board selecting a select committee to decide who to invite to a management planning working group. Would you do that if you can't administer? I don't know.
Yeah, and so if you want to listen to that meeting, it'll be August 7th at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can go to the Fish and Game website. And
3 days before the opening of sheep hunting season.
Yeah, and you can click on that Zoom meeting and listen in.
If you're going to keep up with the board game, you've got to be pretty attentive.
Yeah.
I've found. You know,
I don't have to keep up with the board game. Because you guys keep up with the board game, and you bring someone from the board game in here.
Yeah.
So therefore, our listeners get the actual and the factual and the up-to-date.
With my own views, not the board game views.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah, the laundry house game. It's the laundry house game, yes.
And I'm really poor at keeping track, even though, when something interests me, I'll participate. But I don't really care what the Wolverine season is in Game Management Unit 23.
You know, that's coming from a person who's having problems with the squirrels.
Well, I don't want to talk about squirrels. I want to talk about bears.
Well, let's go back to squirrels. How is your squirrel? Is your squirrel population exploding still?
I think it's doing well.
It's growing.
I won't know until the fall census, which will occur when they start throwing cones out of the spruce trees on the metal roof. Then I'll know where they are. It's an assessment technique.
Again.
So you go back to your comment of, Wayne going, it's a very, you have to be really on top of things to understand the board of game.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that true in about every government agency. If you want to, you start getting involved in city issues, you'll spend a lot of time, reviewing what the city council members are doing and what they want to do in budgets and then understand the process of how do I get my comments and how do I get my ideas in front of, the city council that, would respect to, look at that. So it's all about processes and working within those systems, which is generally time consuming.
There you go.
I want to shift gears if we can. Or do you want to do it after the break?
Why don't we do it after the break?
Okay.
Yeah, we got about another 45 seconds.
I have a problem with some of the Biden administration I want to talk about. Go figure, right?
Again?
Yeah.
What is this? Version 28.7?
This week, yeah. Mm.
Oh, boy.
Talking about fund withdrawal?
Yes.
Another thing on sheep populations, and most people don't know it, and most people that come and talk to me about sheep, wanting an understanding of it because they know I do, really study a lot of data and science and understand things. But something that's really not put out in the public a lot is that we have non-hunted sheep populations in a state, like Denali National Park, where nobody hunts a sheep at all. And in a few other places
except the walls.
and you'll see the demographics of their decline are very similar to the hunted populations that we have in the state. And then when the sheep are rebounding and growing, they have the same almost mirror image of the hunted population. And that was one of the justifications that Joe Want back in the day would show that we always leave a harvestable surplus of mature rams on the mountain for the next year.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're going to hear some Dr. John, some Fox News, state news, commercials, weather, and we'll be back.
We'll be right back. Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and
Fox
streaming
News,
live
John
at KFARradio.com.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis inviting Vice President Kamala Harris to talk about his state's changes to their Black History curriculum. The governor speaking from the campaign trail in New Hampshire.
We, on my office, we sent a letter to Vice President Kamala Harris, inviting her to come to Florida to debate Florida's education standards. She seemed to have a lot to say about it, none of it which has been true.
Recently, the vice president said in Jacksonville that Florida officials want to, quote, replace history with lies. The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, launching the State Department's Bureau of Global Health Security and Diplomacy.
The last few years have made evident that a pandemic is not only a health crisis, it's a security crisis, it's an economic crisis. It's a humanitarian crisis.
The main mission of this is going to be preventing, detecting, responding to, and controlling infectious diseases. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports that more manpower and more equipment mobilized on Monday for growing fires in the interior. The Union, Shasta Lake, and Lawson interagency hotshot crews from Oregon and California arrived in Fairbanks Sunday and mobilized on Monday. Additional water scooping aircraft is also on the way to help. More local firefighters are also returning this week from outside and Canada to help with firefighting efforts in the interior, according to a BLM spokesperson. Firefighters are preparing for a high-pressure weather pattern with sustained hot and sunny days starting this week. Fire activity is expected to increase. Current fires span more than 23,000 acres, according to a press release from the Alaska Division of Forestry and Fire Protection. Sunday's cool weather was welcome news for firefighters, but warm and dry conditions this week may make their job more difficult. BLM's Alaska Fire Service opened its fire station in Fort Yukon on Monday for the first time this season. This will be used as a hub to shuttle firefighters, equipment, and supplies for fires in the region.
Online at KFAR660.com.
The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks announces the following changes to their hours of operation. New weekday hours are 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. New Saturday hours are 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Please contact the clinic if you have any questions or concerns regarding these changes. The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your team of ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians providing medical and surgical eye care, fashion eyewear, and prescription lenses. The Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street. The 2023 Tennenaw Valley State Fair continues. It's family-friendly fun every day. The singers are singing, daredevils daredeviling, and free shows keep coming. Magic by Robbie, King BMX, crazy contests you enter, animals to see. Get your adrenaline rush on the rides. Eat, eat, eat those fair foods and fair treats. Check schedules. Buy your tickets on your free fair app. You've never seen a show like this. It's all happening at the 2023 Tennenaw Valley State Fair, now through this Sunday.
Tune in to Shooter's Corner, your source for news and conversation regarding guns, local events, and your Second Amendment rights, with your host, Laura Berkowitz. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design, an Alaskan company offering products that help you get the most out of your car or truck. Moose lights, auto starts, bug shields, spray-on bed liners, signs, graphics, and more. Visit Auto Trim Design and listen in every Thursday morning at 11 to Shooter's Corner, right here on KFAR Radio. Your Alaska home takes care of you. The Woodway helps you care for your home. Take control of your summer lawn and garden care projects with reliable outdoor power equipment from Honda, Husqvarna, and Steel. Mowers, trimmers, water pumps, chainsaws, and cultivators. Back up your home power supply or light up your camp with an ultra-quiet Honda generator. Homeowner to pro, buy your outdoor power equipment at The Woodway on College Road. Caring for your home the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And over the break, we were discussing kimchi. Really? The interesting conversations we have. Now, Craig, you have a item you want to discuss.
Well, yeah, in a weird twist, I have a bone to pick with something in the Biden administration. Yet another announcement yesterday that the Biden administration is going to block federal funds from schools with archery and hunting programs. That
can they do that?
I guess, you know, they can block federal funds from highway funds and everything else. I don't know what the education.
What executive orders do, if you're the executive, is you tell your minions what to do. And if you've got a Secretary of Education that is sympatric with your views, you tell him what to do and he does it. And if that has to do with funding, I guess, yeah, he can see that it doesn't happen, whether it's legal or not, because Congress has control of the budget, not mm-hmm. the executive branch. Nobody seems to care. But, he can do it.
Yeah, but, well, hold it now. The funding comes into our state for education from the federal government. So they can't have us not fund, say, Lathrop, because Lathrop has a rifle team.
Well, I don't know about that. It sounds like they are, it says, the specific provision in the act was amendment to the Elementary and Secondary Education Act that prohibits federal funds from going into programs that, quote, provide to any person a dangerous weapon or training in the use of a dangerous weapon. So, obviously, you think about how ridiculous this is. Basically, the NEA and a lot of the Biden administration, they've got no problem with genital mutilation surgery, with transgender stuff, with pornographic materials in the libraries.
Are you talking about
Biden? But a bow and arrow is dangerous.
Are you talking about Biden's son?
Yeah, I am. But anyway, this dangerous weapon, are they going to have to outlaw metal forks in the cafeterias, I guess?
Well, they just outlawed plastic forks in New York, so that's how that works.
Unbelievable. This is how over the top this administration has gotten. And of course, you know about the different subject, they're trying to change the agricultural landscape for farmers. They basically don't want cows farting anymore. They want to change the direction for farmers to go to less damaging activities regarding global change, global temperature change and all this. I can't understand how any of these states would vote for this guy based on they're going to try to kill an industry. They don't want you eating meat anymore. They don't want you target practicing with a crossbow or anything. I mean, come on. Where is it going to end? How does this guy even get close in a reelection campaign? People, the average person is, I guess other than the big cities, the average person has just got to be shaking their heads at this stuff if they even hear about it. That's the problem. We don't hear about it on the news. You got to come to Problem Corner to hear about it.
We do have the fishing forecast.
The what?
Fishing forecast. Which is great down at Chidna still, right?
Yeah.
It's excellent, yeah.
Tinker's not here, so someone should say that.
Yeah, that is, even with the higher water, they got higher water and the fishing's been excellent. What are the number outlooks? Did I hear 1.8 for the year?
I forgot to look this morning, but yeah, we should be right at 1 million fish right now. They did drop from significantly down to about 5,000 or 6,000 fish a day going through the sonar for the last several days, but I didn't check this morning. And the commercial fleets dropped a little bit in their total harvest for the last opener. So, yeah, it's slowing down a little bit, which is expected for this time of the year.
Yeah, but it's been wonderfully successful.
Oh, yeah, we should be well over a million fish this year, which will put us in the right up there in the top 5 years.
How much did you take out of that 1 million fish? What was your damage?
We took our limit. We got between the three of us, and Jerry had a proxy for his mom, and we took 115 fish and 115 reds and two kings. Yep, it was good. Had some of it smoked over at Virgil's place, filleted the rest. Should be set. Al, you did good.
Yep, we limited out too.
Good. I'm just waiting for you to support your local elder.
We can do that.
I think Wayne's feeling, left out.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And why not? I didn't. It's fascinating to me. The confidence that we can have in the sonar and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, what if salmon were as tricky as bears?
Well, yeah. Oh, man. Going after them grayling.
Yeah, or, guessing, and that, they make the projections every year. And bless them, they do the best they can based on, the
past runs.
The baby run and how many baby salmon get out there and whatever. They do the best they can. But I think they would be about that accurate if it'd be kind of hard on chickens if they'd get some chicken intrals and just auger through them to make a prediction. They're wildly inaccurate.
It gets interesting. Now, What's the caribou populations looking at for the hunters that starts in 2 weeks?
So the 40 mile is, they came out with their quota, I believe, of 750. They haven't came out with what zones are going to be quoted so much.
Where's the 40 mile area?
I know there's
the herd,
a couple thousand,
yeah,
up on the Stee side, anecdotally. But I also heard, I believe yesterday, somebody came in and said there was still caribou crossing the Taylor Highway. So I don't know if they're spread between the two highways right now or not. I haven't got a chance to talk to the area biologist, so I didn't, get that. The Unit 13 to Malchatna caribou herd's been shut down, both the state and the federal side. So there's no caribou harvest on Malchatna caribou this fall.
Nalchina,
thank you, yeah. And then, so the porcupine herd, which is north of Fairbanks, south of the Brooks Range, above Fort Yukon in that area, is doing really well. They're at a record high. They're well over 200,000 caribou, and they're doing fantastic. Then you have the central Arctic caribou, which is basically on the north side of the Brooks Range and between the Hall Road and Amwar. And they're doing really well. They're well over 30,000 caribou up there. And so, those two herds are doing super good. And then we have a Western Arctic caribou herd, which is still in some sort of a slow decline, which in Unit 23, unless you're on state navigable waterways within the high means mark, only federally qualified people on federal land are taking caribou in 13, which is the vast majority. And then there's some state land on the north side, which there's some opportunity there. The Tushapuk herd's pretty stable right now, so that's where we're kind of at with caribou herds.
We need to remember, as I recall from my days when I was supposed to be understanding what caribou biologists wrote, that it's almost August. Maybe it is. And caribou, I think, have a tendency to do what biologists call the August dispersal.
Yeah.
Which means they're scattered over everywhere. They're not yarded up or herded up to calve or migrate or anything.
Right.
They're just making a living.
What's the herd down near the, it goes along the Denali Highway, from the Richardson to the Denali Highway area. The lakes down there.
Mm. Richardson and the Tangle Lakes, you're talking
about? Yeah, Tangle Lakes.
That's Unit 13. That's Malchatna caribou.
Nalchina.
Nalchina. Oh, yeah. Nalchina.
Too much kimchi.
Too much kimchi. you got the scientists sitting
next
to you.
Yeah, no, that's Nalchina caribou.
And how big is that herd?
It was estimated at 17,000, and we closed the season. Well below our manager objectives.
Okay. So you're protectionists or preservationists, as Wayne brought up.
Well, there's not a harvestable surplus, so there's no opportunity to harvest, and we got to conserve that herd for future generations. So we need to see what start looking again. I mean, they have so, but we're going to get more studies on why the caribou herd's at it. Where it's at, and can anything be done to increase that population?
A few years ago, the Fed shut down the caribou population on the Kenai Peninsula. And what that did was that brought all the Kenai hunters up here. So when you're shutting down an area, you might put more pressure on another area. Do you take that into consideration?
Yeah, I mean, that's the balloon thing, so...
The balloon thing?
Yeah,
the balloon.
You squeeze here and, pops out over, you take the restriction over here and it pops out somewhere else. So,
and throughout Alaska history, that's a fairly recent event.
Right.
Thanks to Compo and the side-by-sides and, everybody being able to get
around. And boats, they can get 100 miles upriver versus 2 miles upriver.
Yeah, Alaska used to be a lot bigger than it is now. We've got federal land everywhere. You've got native land that you have to respect. You've got a little state land here. Populations are bad. Hunters are mobile. That just means that Alaska isn't as big as it used to be, which means you can't manage the way you used to.
True.
Airplane access.
Yeah, we've shrunk.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Interior Community Health Center provides quality primary care that is truly accessible to all. Eligible families with or without insurance can access our wide range of medical services by taking advantage of our sliding fee discount. Our comprehensive approach to wellness and state-of-the-art facility has earned us the Health Resources and Services Administration's Quality Awards. Learn more at interiorcommunityhealth.org or make an appointment. Call 907-455-4567. That's 907-455-4567.
Jeans Chrysler Jeep Dodge and Ram Summer Adventure Giveaway. There's a ton of summer out there, and Jeans wants you to make the most of it. With weekly prizes all summer long and a grand prize giveaway on August 18th. This week's prize list?
200 minutes for tanning from TurboTans and a Sundog CrossFit one-month membership with three coached classes.
Enter to win at Jeans, South Cushman at Van Horn Road, the Summer of Adventure Contest.
No purchase necessary to enter to win. See dealership for contest rules.
Jeans, the official dealership of life in Alaska.
The roads you ride are always changing, and they aren't always easy. For those kinds of roads, you need the flexibility of Firestone Destination Highway, all-terrain and mud tires. Designed for aggressive off-the-road performance without sacrificing on-the-road respectability, quiet, and comfort. Drive somewhere you've never thought possible. Firestone Destination Tires will take you there in your light truck, SUV, and CUV. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 82. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 54 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 83. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I got Wayne Heimer, Al Barrett, and Craig Compo in the studio here with me. Gentlemen, it's August. You can fish, you can hunt.
Pick
you can,
berries.
You can get upland birds. Wayne, what's your recommendation for the sports in field enthusiasts in the interior?
Snap trapping for shrews and voles.
In your house?
In my house, yeah.
I didn't bring that up.
Maybe it's a seasonal thing. I don't know.
No, it's a high year. I've been seeing them, too. Have at you? The shop and at my house, there's the high voles.
How about red squirrels? We've got squirrels running through our showroom all day long. Got to set some traps up in there.
Yeah, bring in Wayne. What's your recommendation?
Do what pleases you. Be safe, be wise, be fair and legal, but do what pleases you.
Al, what's your recommendation?
You can just about, everything's an opportunity in August and September, so it's a great time to be out camping, fishing, hiking. I don't have a recommendation for this one. Fishing's still good. There's lots of fish in the lakes and still opportunity down at Chitna, and the Kenai's doing really well again. So you have a lot of opportunity.
The Tanana is high right now, and it's backed up the Chena at my house. And I think I scared a pike out of the grass the other day. That's pretty unusual for the lower Chena.
Yeah.
Craig, what's your...
Not necessarily interior, but obviously I like to get on the river. But every year I drive down or fly down to Kenai, and there's a company called Alaska West Air. Doug Brewer runs it. We fly across the inlet. We've gone clamming. over, you know, in July we go, in August we can go down there and catch salmon. They're running pretty thick down there, and it's just beautiful country down there. And it's really pretty reasonably priced when you think about it. They do a half-day trip. It's $500 or $600, but you fly in a turbine otter or turbine beaver. You catch as many fish as you can catch in half a day, which seems like a whole day, and the scenery is just gorgeous. You're flying over right over glaciers down into a little green lake. You're catching dollies that come out of a creek. Then you're catching lake trout out of the lake, and then later, September, the silvers come through there, and it's just beautiful. I encourage people to go to that website, Alaska West Air, and if you got family coming up and you want to do something really fun, guaranteed fish, really. I've never been down there where we didn't just nail them. Go out with Doug Brewer in Alaska West Air.
My recommendations would be on August 10th, you have the upland bird hunting season starts. And I'd go after some grouse. And I'd go out to Chino Hot Springs Road, and I'd take a look at...
Those are babies.
Yeah.
I says like a squirrel hunter.
Going to be a baby shooter?
So I'd go out there. I'd find a gravel road, a good, you know, gravel road. And in the morning or the evening, I'd just walk the gravel road and look for them to come out to get the pebbles in their digestive system to help them feed. And that's when I'd shoot a few birds, you know, throughout the year.
They're baby, they're really tiny.
You can get some to fly, Wayne. You can be the preservationist that you want. Another thing you can do is, Craig brought it up, silver salmon season. And start getting down looking at Valdez for fishing. Mm-hmm. They have got a great return in there, and you can enjoy that. So
beautiful area too. You know, every time I go there, I'm just in awe of the scenery, and you know, it's just gorgeous. It's everything from the run through Keystone Canyon till you're out on the water with the waterfalls coming down. Even if the weather's marginal, it's beautiful down there. It's people. If you haven't been down to Valdez, and I imagine most of the listeners have been, just put it on your bucket list. Get down there and do some fishing. It's just gorgeous.
We're gonna take a phone call.
All right.
Good morning. You're on KFER with the London House Gang, and your name is.
Hey, it's Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, I just want to thank your guests, all these gentlemen. I know they don't get paid. They're taking time out of their day. I listen to them as often as I can, and I listen to Craig on Saturday, and I'm just real. I love the information. I write down a bunch of it, and I try to follow up and do the same thing they're talking about, and I think it's pretty cool. So I just wanted to thank them for being on the show. Very interesting show.
Rick, thank you very much. Are you going to be doing any outdoor activity, hunting, fishing, recreating this August?
This is the first year I haven't gone down to the Kenai. I love it down there, and I may end up down there long term. Just netting down there, I do the scuba thing where I swim out past everybody and float down with the net and catch them while I float past everybody. It pisses people off like crazy.
That's a typical Fairbanksan attitude. Good for you, Rick.
It really angers people. They try to hit you with their net and stuff. They get really mad at you. But when you pull out 3, 4, 5 at a time, and they're struggling for their one, it really gets them hot. I love it down there. And then I'm going to try to do my caribou hunt this year. But I had that knee replaced last year, so I'm a lot slower this year than I am normally.
So you're giving the competition a chance.
Yeah. Once again, thank you guys very much for being on. I love the show. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rick. You too, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. Compo, put your head back on. Get your head, you know.
He's watching. Loves the Compo Outdoor Show, yeah. That is fun, actually. I have some fun on that.
You have...
I mean, I get to shamelessly plug the business, of course. Compost, 4122 Boat Street, right on the river, right on the price. But I also, we have fun. We talk politics. I've got different fun guests on and you know, everything from the old Midnight Sun 600 race with Johnny Martin and Binkley on there. Mm-hmm. Those were fun. And then, you know, just have somebody in that specializes and does really good at ice fishing, or it's just kind of fun, like a Monzingo. But hey, we were talking caribou earlier. I have a caribou trivia question I want to see if one of these guys can get. Okay, so what is in the deer population, what is unique about the head of a caribou compared to any other deer?
The females have antlers.
Other than that. That was
tough. Probably on a proportional basis, it's the biggest head proportionally to the body.
I think their noses are uniquely different than any of the other.
How? You're getting somewhere there.
You're getting close.
They're the only ones that have, moose got fur on their nose, so.
No, but in the deer population, I guess you count a moose.
Moose or deer?
Yeah.
It's a big deer.
So you wanted hair on the nose?
Yeah. Yeah, the hair on the nose, which I guess biologically is so that it warms the air up coming into their lungs where you don't need that if you're a Bambi out in Montana. Good call there. I didn't give Wayne a chance to respond.
You know, that's, of course that's from a guy on the Board of Game.
Yeah.
Knowledgeable person.
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on the Saturday lineup. I really enjoy that on Saturdays. The whole thing, I there's hardly a chance you don't learn something from one of those programs.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's real popular, too. I guess it's getting
the health issues. Yeah. You know,
food, health, real estate, outdoors, marijuana, travel. Yeah. You know, you got six shows. You got 3 hours there. You know, think about it. You got food and marijuana.
Yeah. In that order.
Yeah. You know, real estate, travel. You know, a guy who goes out and shoots, you know, endangered species. Yeah. and then travel around the state so you can see a guy go out and shoot.
And then you got health.
Species. Yeah, and health.
Yeah.
So yeah, 3.5, 4 hours. And
yeah, that's great. Great, great, great.
They really ought to.
I like it.
They were talking once about replaying it, evening hours or something else. They should probably do that because a lot of people miss it and they go, I want it. But you can go to the archives page and pick it up too, which is kind of cool.
You know, I have to spend a lot more time on my half-hour show than I spent on this one. On this one, you know, bring in the guests, you have a good time. I got a few things in my head I want to discuss. On the food show, oh my God, that's work.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance? Remember, I recommend you talk to try and get a hold of the guy that's doing those pilotless airplanes. He's
not yet, no.
Yeah, that sounds like
you were going to get in touch with the guy.
Yeah, well, Everett's Robbie Everett's either, I think, leasing or sharing some hangar space with him, and they're doing a bunch of testing for these villages where they'll be able to fly, you know, without a pilot, basically fly their caravans, I think, that are converted to like drone type stuff so that they'll minimize their risk, obviously.
But now, as you guys saw earlier during the break, everyone but one person shuts down the board, saves everything, so you walk in here and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always that one in a crowd that doesn't do that. That's confident.
I just walk in.
So I just had to chew. You saw me chewing on it.
Yeah.
You know, shut down the board. I don't want to come in here and be live on the air.
After I witness that, I'll never run that board.
There you go. There you go. Well, that's the fun thing about it. It takes you a while to learn how to run the board.
It does, yeah.
And you're always going to make a mistake, especially if you're live.
Yeah.
I just don't want the mayor coming down on me like that.
Oh, it'll happen in a heartbeat. It'll happen.
Hey, real quick, before we go, the mayor of Anchorage is talking about sending homeless people to Los Angeles this winter. Give them a $300-$400 ticket because people are dying down there. I wonder what our mayor's going to do.
Send them to Anchorage.
Good answer.
Send them to Anchorage.
It's the same cost, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm keeping him in state.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it actually, we do get some of their population up here, believe it or not.
Anchorage?
Yeah, because we have...
It's not cold enough for them down there?
No, actually, we have more... we take better care of them, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And so they've migrated up here, so... Right. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Gentlemen, really appreciate you being here and had a great lively discussion on things that just aren't believable that happen in the paper. Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow, and I'll have Jimmy Cash, Assembly member and candidate for Borough Assembly.